Did you know the number one predictor of divorce, what it is, according to some really expert relationship or study on this topic? We're going to get to that in a moment. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen, the host of others here at our Intentional Living Center. We love you guys. And we're going to continue on from yesterday's discussion on communication in marriage. And I shared on the show, by the way, I'm Dr. Randy, and I mentioned yesterday that the average couple in this country, sadly, wait 6 years before they seek some help. And maybe you've been waiting that long and you feel the pain of poor communication in your marriage. We want to maybe jumpstart that today to get you thinking, maybe break the inertia, and help you take some steps toward doing a better job. Because listen, none of us are experts in this. Let's face it. Most of us don't learn how to be good communicators. We watch how our parents did it, or our neighbors, or siblings, or whatever. And we don't send people to a class 6 months before you get married. You have to get a passing grade on communication to get married. And so many of us get married and we're not so good at it for lots of reasons. The way we were raised, different values, the family that your spouse is coming from have different expectations and they're not being met, and the busyness of kids and work and what have you, and things get to be difficult. But listen, according to John Gottman, who is an expert in this area, according to his research, the number one predictor of divorce is criticism. And he even goes on to say, I think contempt is even a greater predictor. So in your communication, if you're experiencing a lot of criticism or contemptuous kinds of communication, and you know when you feel that, boy, that's the time to say, Lord, something different has to happen here. We need some help. And don't wait 6 years, okay? We've got some great stories coming up. People want to share their stories about how they're communicating in marriage. They're one thing. If you want to join in on our storyline, do so at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. All right, let's get going. Mary, you're in Texas. Appreciate your call. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I listen to you all the time. I love this show.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Okay, so here's the deal. Like, we've been married almost 50 years, mm-hmm. and we could not be more different. Like, he's an introvert, and I'm an extrovert. I'm impulsive, and he's a thinker. And so I'm embarrassed that it's taken this long to figure it out. But if I start a discussion with what we're doing right, or what I think, you know, like if it's a discussion about money, then I'll say something about, you know, we did good about keeping the amount in the savings account that we said we would, or whatever. And then I'll talk to him about what I have on my mind. But he's the kind of guy that has to think about it. And for a long time, I used to, you know, blurt out everything and then say, what do you think? And whatever he said would make me mad. You know, I would be like, oh. But I learned that if I said, don't say anything, just think about it, then... and come back and talk to me about it tomorrow, or let me know when you're ready to talk about it, then it went a whole lot better. Mm.
Now, how many years did that take you? All 50?
Well, maybe 30. and the worst part about it is I'm a counselor by profession. So you would think that I would know how to communicate better than most, but it's different when it's just, you know, when it's you and your family and not your clients.
Yeah. Yeah, hello.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I understand that. I get that. Listen, Mary, you probably get a better answer after he processes it than if you expect him to answer you right away.
It's amazing. Like, almost always he would say no to whatever it was that I wanted an immediate answer for.
Yeah.
But if I ask him to think about it, then a lot of times it's yes. And you know what else has happened that I realized? That if I have time to think about it, a lot of times I change my mind about whatever it was I thought. So I've changed my mind too. And I think he's learned that if he gives me time to think about whatever impulsive thought I had, then I may change my mind and he won't have to say one way or the other.
Well, hey, listen, what does the Bible say? The Bible says two are better than one because they have a good return mm-hmm. for their work.
Right. And we talk about how three strands are not easily broken as well.
That's right.
You know, and braid God into everything that we do in our marriage. And so, and really and truly, I'm embarrassed that it took 35 years. And really and truly, we've just gotten good at it. We didn't start out good at it, but I just thought, you know, every time I demand an answer or I have this great idea, like, you know, we're going to put 50% of our money in this account because we're going to save up for this or for that. And, you know, that's it. And that never worked ever.
Well, it took 30 years, but you're finally getting to it, Marianne. That's good. And that's an encouragement for those of you who are, you know, 10 years into your marriage and wondering, can we get better at this thing? There's hope for you, but don't wait another 20 years. Go at it now. All right. All right. Let's move on here. Greg in Arizona. Appreciate your call. Go right ahead.
Yes. I think it's after prayerful consideration, giving it some thought and time, having the courage to bring up those subjects that are just uncomfortable or that we don't want to. I think that's really key, an indicator when you dodge an issue that you need to deal with it.
Is that something you do in your marriage?
Yeah, I do.
And has it helped? Has it been a positive thing for you guys?
Oh, for sure. 100%. And it's been beautiful because what I do, I learn to shut up, go to God, pray, give it some time, which allows me to be gentle and yet forthright and hear her point first and then be able to talk about my point, which is something that's needed that I'm dodging. Kids or we're in a blended family.
Yeah, and then sometimes in a blended family, you got to have special communication, don't you? That's really important.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Number 9 in the list of the intentionals is find help. Don't go it alone. God calls us into community. He made us to help and be helped by others. If you're one that doesn't like to complain or ask for help, or you grew up in an environment as a pleaser perhaps, where it's hard for you when you're going through a tough time to be honest with people, stop it. Refusing to ask for help when you need help is a form of pride. Come on, God made doctors and pastors and friends and books and music and groups and church and family and Christian radio for a reason. And those who live intentionally are willing to ask for help when needed and willing to pay it forward when they don't. All right, listen, you can be a part of this journey. We'd love to have you be a part of Intentional Living. You know why? First of all, because we love you guys and we want the best for you. That's the only reason we do this. And we have some lessons coming up that are going to get really into the heart in the months ahead going up on our website to this whole thing of how to be an intentional person that can transform your relationships. And some really powerful input from research and experience that we're going to have available to helping people. Because we believe that as followers of Christ, we should be the best at it. So when you support the ministry, you help us do this, do the radio, the podcast, different things. Also, we want to say thanks. And one of the ways we do that is make available our teaching up on our exclusive site for you all. And all you have to do is go online to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717.
Yeah, hi, this is Chuck. I've learned one good thing to do when me and my wife are talking through something. It's for me, after she's done, to say, so this is what I hear you saying. Because most of the times, or a lot of times, what I'm hearing is not what she's saying, and vice versa. So it's a good thing to say, well, this is what I hear you saying, so that you both understand what you're trying to get across. God bless. Love you guys.
Yeah, that's right out of Communication 101. Is this what I heard? Make sure you clarify. It's important. All right, Jerry, over there in New Mexico, appreciate your call. What's helped you in your communication in your marriage?
Well, I've been married 33 years, so there have been a lot of communication issues, and I'm the one that doesn't like to talk, and he does. So what we have agreed to do, because God has given us so much grace, is now if things are running hot or about to heat up, we say the word grace. So that we're reminded to show grace to one another. And it does calm things down, and we are able to openly communicate.
So you admit you have hot moments, but you know how to cool it down. Put a little ice cube on that a little bit. Brings the temperature down, doesn't it?
It definitely does. And that one word, just it's a great reminder of the mercy and grace that God has given us.
Mm, that's powerful. Jerry, thank you for doing what you're doing, because you know what? One act like that in your marriage, just one simple understanding that's applied, one intentional decision can make all the difference. All right, Julianne, you're next, also in New Mexico. What's your one thing for communication?
One thing that I've learned is before I need to have a conversation that I know is going to be difficult, which is most conversations for me because I'm very non-confrontational, but I've learned to pray about it before I do it. And I ask the Lord to go before me and kind of soften their heart and help me communicate what I actually mean and let them hear what I mean and not necessarily what I say. Because I've found sometimes the way I communicate, I might not say exactly what I mean, but I know the Lord can help that person understand what I need to say. Mm-hmm. And that really has worked for me and really changed relationships in my life, because I found that, you know, when my husband and I had to communicate things with each other, a lot of times we would just get defensive before the other person could even hear what we were trying to say. And prayer has really helped that situation.
Yeah. Once the defenses go up, it's over. I mean, it really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, because then what happens is we've taken a position where we feel offended. We take a position. Once we take a position, we have to defend it. And then, well, you know, and then it gets shoved under the rug, doesn't get talked about, creates more tension in the marriage. Has it helped doing what you're doing, how you're doing it?
Yes, sir. Very much so. And I think it also helps me too. It helps me calm before I need to talk and just really give it to the Lord and let him assist me in my communication.
Hmm. Very good. Hey, listen, this has been good stuff. Let me turn to the scripture. What does the Bible have to say about this? Psalm 19:14 is a powerful verse, a reminder that the psalmist is saying, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And so what we say, even when we're thinking about it, speaking to the Lord, we wouldn't speak with disrespect, would we? We want to listen. We want to understand. That should be true as well with people. Proverbs 15 reminds us that a soft answer turns away wrath. Is that true or what? Have you ever noticed if you give a soft answer to something that's harsh coming at you? Boy, but harsh words stir up anger, Proverbs 15. Proverbs 16, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Wow. Now this one is convicting, Matthew 12. It says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. You know, that I don't know if I've ever heard that preached in all my years as a believer from the pulpit. But it ought to be. That goes on to say, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Wow. Okay, pastors, there's a series for you on the power of words. Where is that? You said it's Matthew 12, 36, and 37. Talk about the power of words. Wow. All right, Susan, glad you're on the line from Arizona. What have you learned about communication?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So at night, I know this sounds a little bit like you've heard people say it and you don't really know if it's true or not, but at night we always have a hash out session from the day. if there's anything that we need to talk about or discuss, we do it before we put our head down.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible clearly says that God's mercies are new every morning. So we need to give our spouse a grace period. So that's why my husband and I do not go to bed angry. We rarely fight because we talk about everything every day. We make our marriage a priority. So, but yep. That's it.
Well, hey, listen, it's not only biblical that his mercies are new every morning. It's also true we're not to put our head to bed at night with wrath. If we get rid of it at night, we can experience more of that mercy and grace and freedom in our marriage in the morning like you guys do.
Right. It's not that we solve everything every night, okay? But we're going to at least address it and make sure that we didn't, say anything or do anything to one another to cause for us to have problems. So it's been great. I mean, I can't.
Do you have some nights, though, where just not quite there?
But I'm not going to say I despise him or I'm that angry at him. And even as Christians, we can go to bed really mad. And we don't have promises for tomorrow, right, Randy?
Mm-hmm.
So because we don't have promises for tomorrow, do you really want to go to bed that night and take a chance that your partner may not wake up? So, and that's the reality. We have no promises. So, if we wait and wait and wait, it builds and builds and builds. People ask me all the time, why don't you guys have fights, big blowouts or anything? But if you're talking every day, if you're setting aside time every day for your relationship with another person and you're valuing them, it's kind of, at that point, we go to bed, trust me, we're like, we're going to solve this. And we do, because we've had 22 years of working it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes practice, but it's been amazing. Yeah. It's been the best thing I've ever done.
Good for you. Boy, these are great ideas and stories. Speaking of stories, sounds, Jennifer, like you guys, like you've made some changes. What have you done to improve communication in your marriage?
I spent a lot of time in prayer and asking God to give me eyes to see my husband the way he sees him, because I knew in my spirit my husband loves me. And what I had to do was really readjust my expectations and be intentional about communicating with my husband in terms of, what I need. And I did read The Five Love Languages. It's an excellent book, and that was very helpful. And for me, I made some adjustments in my marriage. And really, first, it was recognizing who my husband is. He brings different giftings to the marriage than I do. He's his own person. And so when birthdays and Christmas and anniversaries come around, I tend to be somebody that kind of goes overboard in the celebration. My husband is the complete opposite. And I really just did kind of a check in terms of, I like to call it equal opportunity. He wasn't treating me differently. He's that way with his inner circle, all the people he loves deeply. Mm-hmm. He's the same way. So this is just who he is as a person. And for me, it was, if I wanted to go to dinner for my birthday, I would let him know, this is where I want to go. I'd send him a link. This is the restaurant. And I'd like for you to call and make the reservation. So it was just kind of an adjustment of how I approach things, kind of scaling back. We always acknowledge each other with a nice card and maybe a small token gift. But it was me needing to make some adjustments in the relationship and not coming to the table expecting him to be just like me.
But that is a really offensive to some women who are listening, thinking, he should know that. But you've come around to the fact that if you stay stuck there, then bitterness does follow.
Exactly. And so it was an intentional choice of mine not to be that person.
Right.
I didn't want to grow bitter. I didn't want to grow resentful. And so I knew in order for me not to be that person, I needed to change.
Something that everyone will experience in life is pain. In Dr. Randy's message, The Purpose of Pain, you'll learn even though pain is a problem, when you understand its purpose in your life, you can actually gain freedom.
Pain is a troubling problem for humanity, and yet, without pain, we'd have no grasp of the contrast with health, or peace, or success, or meaning. For it's in the pain that we're able to see how dependent we are on God and what His blessings are all about in our life.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group with unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now and receive these life-changing resources. Call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And I hope you'll do that. You know, you hear that every day from Kurt. Thank you, Kurt. And when you join in support, and many of you are doing that, we get to say thank you. And of course, you get to impact people for Christ. And I thank you for doing that. You know, as we talk about communication today, there's a couple things. I was thinking the other day, what are some of the things that for marriage, for building a kind of marriage relationship that God wants for us? And I thought about number one, you would say love, right? We have to have love if we're going to make our marriage work. And I say love is like a glue that holds us together. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, and that's to love one another. Certainly, if we're to love brothers and sisters in Christ, we're to love our spouse. Love is a glue. And then there's respect. You know, respect is not a glue so much. It's more like a water that we need when we're feeling kind of down and we need to be refreshed. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 2 says that we are to show proper respect to everyone. Respect is important if you want to build a marriage. But there's a last one here, love, respect, there's one more. And this is a biggie. You need agreement. Agreement is like an oil that you put into the cogs and the machinery of a marriage. And without the kind of agreement, that kind of oil, we have to fall back on what Amos says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? You know, you can love your spouse, respect your spouse, but if you can't come to an agreement in your communication about raising kids and spending money and all the other things, it's going to cause the wheels of your marriage to grind to a halt. So can I encourage you when it comes to communication that you focus on not only love and respect, but on agreement as well? All right, we're about out of time. I think I got time for one more caller. Megan, how do you weigh in on today's topic?
You know, my aunt told me a long time ago, she said, in these situations, when you're having a difficult upset, blame, shame, anxiety, worry, anger, if you allow them to be prominent, they're not going to do anything positive for you. But prayer does everything. Mm. And so this last season, my husband and I, we have lost so many people. Between January and February, we lost 7 family members, including both sets of our parents and one of our adopted children.
Oh.
It was so hard, and we clung to each other to get through it, which I'm so grateful that God reminded us that we've got each other to lift each other up, right?
That's right.
But I've noticed that both of us were kind of testy with the kids. We've got a full house, and we're both just on edge. We're not ourselves. We're not who, you know, we would have been before this past year. And in that moment, when I hear, for example, my husband, you know, getting testy with one of my kiddos, in that moment, I can go really defensive and really angry, and I could start yelling, or I could just take a moment and pray and ask God just for a little bit of peace. So this past weekend, we had one of those moments where my husband and one of my teenagers are just kind of testy with each other and not really reflecting the love that we really do have for each other, right, in the way that they were communicating. And so I said, you know what, hold on. It's so much easier for me to communicate when we've got something in common. So what can you guys do to spend more time to reconnect? So this weekend, they're going to go out to lunch, and I think the teenager is going to teach dad how to play Fortnite, which is going to be kind of funny. But just to remember, like, we love each other.
That's right.
You know, we are a gift to each other. We are here to lift each other up and support each other. And God's got us. But sometimes those negative emotions, and when we let them be front and center, they take away who we are to each other.
Amen. What a story. Listen, when did this all occur? 7 family members lost during what period of time, Megan?
Between January 9th and February 4th.
1 month. Both sets of parents and one of your children?
Yeah. We have some foster kiddos that we, whoa, one of which we had adopted, and we lost him, and then an uncle on both of our sides. No. It was... you know what? But God's grace is in that too.
Amen.
You know, my husband and I were caregivers for four of these seven people. You know, his mother had health issues, and my parents were technically my grandparents, but you know, my family structure is what it is. And so we were exhausted, and come December, we're paying for their caregiving, we're out of pocket, and I'm going, God, I know you don't intend for me to go completely broke here. I was having a hard time paying my mortgage. We were that tapped in what we were doing for others.
Now, you understand, so Megan, that when we hear these kind of stories from others, these kind of losses, this hurt, mm-hmm. this is what blows families up. This is what blows marriages up. And so you guys, the fact that that you've held this together, you're clinging to each other, as you've said, and listen, you guys are going through a grief period. You're going to have these, as you know, these are just part of the human condition that we have during loss, and cutting yourself some slack and grace, as you say, focusing on the positive and being proactive, or we call intentional. That's really what proactive is, doing the next right run thing in your marriage. You have been very intentional in your marriage, in your relationship through this loss, where I have talked with and counseled with people who go through these kinds of things. And instead of fighting for their marriage, they fight in their marriage and lose their marriage and their family. And so God bless you for being intentional in honoring God, bringing Him glory, and certainly benefit to yourself in the process.
We have a really wonderful marriage, and I'm very, very grateful for it. But I'll tell you, we've never been closer than walking through this season together. It's been hard, but even through all the hurt, right, God wants us to see Him still and reach out to Him, and I'm just grateful.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you, Megan. Yeah, what a way to close the show today. You know, we've talked yesterday and today about the power of communication. And I have to, you know, share that of all the work that I've done with couples over the years, and counseling and teaching and writing, it all begins and ends with communication. If you can't communicate, you're in trouble. Communication is the only way that we can connect with another person. And so I encourage you today to make this a matter of importance in your life. You may be an excellent communicator at work or in other settings, but you find yourself in the stress and the closeness and intimacy of the challenges of a marriage relationship that it's more difficult and easier just to ignore. Remember, it matters. Hope you'll make it a matter of importance today. I'm Dr. Randy for the entire team. God bless you. This is Intentional Living. It is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.